and I forgot the date. All right. December 20th, 2009, you are listening to the TeamWarmers.com podcast. Welcome to the TeamWarmers.com podcast. I'm your host, R99975, and I am joined by the Knights of the Round Table, and they will be Cersei Piper.
It's only a flesh wound.
Followed by Sir Kello Prime.
Knights of the Round Table, we fight whenever able.
And lastly, Sir Ender.
Earl of Prime, loin of beef.
Three Monty Python references in 30 seconds. How's that?
Very good.
I think mine was actually a Bugs Bunny reference.
Ah.
Well, close enough. So it's in the rainbow of comedy. So
I should have said I like to push the pram a lot.
We have to do a lot. What is that? I like to push
the pram a lot. All right,
gentlemen.
He doesn't really like to. He has to.
Oh, okay. It's been a while since I've seen.
See, that's a good. I've even dropped the reference badly, so yeah. I'll stick with my Bugs Bunny.
Alrighty then. Well, this isn't a Bugs Bunny show nor a Monty Python show, although we are all dorks. But this is mostly to talk about Transformers, and this is the second to last TeamWarmers.com podcast. Next 28th, I believe, is still scheduled, although it may change depending on to what Jason's schedule is for work. We will be recording the final TeamWarmers.com podcast. We'll get more into that later on in the show, and all the wondrous fan thanks and stuff that's making me like literally cry over my computer. It's just freaking amazing. So that being said, let's move on to the news, because that's what the people are here for. And the big news of the week is that the Transformers movie script is real and Michael Bay is going to be making it. So I would just like to say that you all can thank me for having hope. The fact that such a quality script has been decided to be made, and as such, we will be going back to the 80s and starting the franchise over. Gentlemen, your thoughts?
I'd like some of the drugs that you're on.
I'm sorry, I must have fallen into some kind of weird shattered glass T-Formers podcast or something like that.
No, that's not what happened, Cal. What's happened is that Anthony has gone back in time and changed Michael Bay's childhood and given him Transformers. So now he wants to go back to the 80s.
Oh, that's not a bad. That's not a bad idea, actually.
Improv plot, you see?
Actually, the Transformers movie script is a fake, and that has been confirmed by Nelson on the Michael Bay message boards. And
We had to ask him.
Yeah, I know, but darn it, I was holding out. I was holding out. But
to be honest, though, the thing you've got to look at though is that even if this is the actual script, he's still going to say it's fake anyway. Because that's what they did for the last one.
Oh, that's a good point.
I mean, I think it's fake as well, because Michael Bay has proven in the last two films that he doesn't really care about other Transformers. So the fact that this one is apparently so heavily based on the 80s Transformers kind of seals the deal, I think. But, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a plot hole filler, and he just has no interest in filling plot holes. It's like, no, those are what make the camera shake. It's like, okay.
Oh, alrighty. Well, I think that's all we can say about that. So, on to the first story, the extraordinary readier person thingy. Z Piper, please.
Revenge of the Fallen makes the semi-finalist circle for the special effects Oscar.
It won the Oscar!
Well, it didn't win the Oscar, and it's most likely not going to, because it's not based off of cops, doctors, lawyers, or some feel-good movie. I was just going to say that wasn't Lord of the Rings, I mean, I'm not exactly an internet movie database whore, but wasn't Lord of the Rings, that trilogy, the last, like, kind of R movie that won anything for special effects? I mean, really, it's not typically, you know, movies like this that win it.
Maybe it was Star Trek that was nominated, but I remember Star Trek winning last year?
I don't know. Well, I mean, either way.
I think Star Trek would be up for it this year, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Star Trek was this year, was a 2009 movie.
So. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean.
This is a special effects category, so I think Transformers has a shake here.
Oh, I think so, yeah. I mean, and really, if you look at the list, I mean, like, the full list of semifinalists is Angels and Demons, Avatar, Coraline, Disney's Christmas Carol, District 9, G-Force, G.I. Joe, Harry Potter, Sherlock Holmes, which hasn't even released yet, Star Trek, Terminator, Transformers, 2012, Watchmen, and Where the Wild Things Are. So I think it's funny that, yeah, it's like, because Holmes doesn't get released until Christmas Day, so they've already obviously seen advanced screenings, and whoever was going to decide that fact went ahead and, you know, decided. And G-Force, are we talking about, like, the based off of the old cartoon with the guys in the spaceships and stuff?
No. No. This is the one with the hamsters. Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, there you go. So it's pretty good. The semifinalists will be whittled down to 7 in early January, and with the finalists being chosen in late January. So we'll get to see. I mean, you know, it's kind of one of those, like, sour persimmons that I love Transformers and I'd like to see them do well, but I don't want another feather in Bay's cap of mediocrity. And that would I mean, I know it's more ILM than him, but still, I don't know. I'm kind of torn on this.
I think Avatar is going to take it, to be honest, though. It's like, that movie is special effects for 9/10 of the movie.
Yeah, but
not that I've seen the movie, but, you know, I think if I mean, Angels and Demons, really? Like, as a special effects movie? Like, what? No.
I just see the Academy sitting around going like, let's see. Do we give the Oscar to Michael Bay's movie or to James Cameron's movie? Tough choice.
Yeah.
You know? There's some politics there even to take into consideration.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, I'm looking at Avatar. Avatar does not look good, in my opinion. Is it just me, or does – I mean, to me, it looks like it's like a cartoon.
Well, Jeff saw it yesterday, actually, and he said that overall – I mean, he went with a friend as well, and they both agreed that it was moderately enjoyable, and the level of special effects was really nice. Like, at some points, it was kind of really hard to tell what was computer-generated and what was, you know, real. But plot-wise, they said all they really did was rip off the Battle of Endor from Return of the Jedi and stretch that out to 2 hours.
Really?
It sounds like genius to me. But
I, as far as I'm aware, it's had mostly positively good reviews. I don't think positively is actually a word, but we'll, you know, assume. So apparently it is quite a good film, but yeah, I think I'm with a lot of people. I look at that and I just see nature good, man bad story rehash, and I have zero interest in that.
Same here.
I'm actually going to see it this Wednesday. Sorry.
Oh, well. You can tell us all what happens next week.
All right. Moving on, because we're short on time. So, Help Wanted. Do you have takes to be in Transformers 3? Well, the short of it is that Michael Bay is looking for Maya programmers. And, just want to let you guys know now, the reason why I'm quitting the podcast is because I'm going to go work for Michael Bay as a 3D programmer. So just had to wait for this to get posted. But now that's out there, I just want to say thank you all. So just relax assured that in the next movie you'll see some sort of episode of a Zapbot somewhere in the background for your pleasure and enjoyment.
Gee, I was unaware you had such mad 3D animation skills.
Go on, Jade. Man.
Be funny! Damn you!
I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
So I'm not really. Although I did submit my application for a web design position, even though it wasn't open. I just said, hey, I have an email address. I'm going to send you my resume. So, Michael Bayes, guys, if you're listening, you need help with website design, I'm available.
Even though we constantly destroy Michael Bay every chance we get and think he's a hack director, we absolutely would like to work for you, right? Is that kind of what I'm getting?
Yeah, heck, I go work for him. I mean, maybe just have me as the official Transformer expert on set. I'd be like, no, Bumblebee wouldn't say that. No.
I think it'd be awesome to walk into an interview and say, I loathe you and everything your company stands for. Why don't you hire me?
Well, man, it's freaking Hollywood. His money's green. He hangs out with Megan Fox. She called him Hitler on national television. I mean,
That is a good point, Andrew. That is a good point. But anyhow, so if you want to go work for Michael Bay, you can, and you know Maya, which, Jason, I think you actually know a little bit of Maya, don't you?
Yeah, not as much as I would like to, and sadly, CCAD chose to get with a program called Mirai instead of Maya, and of course, Mirai is no longer really used widespread. Not that it ever really was used widespread. I think we used it because they got like a deal on it, because, you know, God forbid they actually had used the program that the industry was using.
Right, well...
So yeah, I only...
Go ahead. Hmm? I was going to say... Go ahead.
I only learned Maya on my own time, not formal training, so yes.
Yeah, so we could complain about how our college screwed us over in a 3D animation department another time.
I think, Anthony, you should try washing Michael Bay's car.
Washing his car?
To get the job.
Nobody. if he paid me well, I do it. I do that. I'd be honest with you, so... But,
we could like, you know, do a film of you washing your car with Michael Bay isms, with constant like soap suds exploding and trucking camera angles going all the way around the car. It'd be pretty awesome. Randomly, we'll just have some big breasted ladies come out and, you know, chammy the vehicle.
Well, unfortunately, that wouldn't do much for me, but it would probably.
Yeah, that would get them fired.
Yeah.
Hey, actually, okay, so I'm turning into a Cylon here. So since Kello is holding and hosting and recording, I'm going to drop off and restart my computer. So you guys just keep on reading the news. And when I get back online, Kello, you just add me back on. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that's fine, man.
All right, so carry on. I'll be right back.
Woohoo.
So does that mean all of a sudden I'm now the host of the T-Formers podcast?
It's a power struggle, damn it.
I was going to say, we have to battle it out to the death.
It's going to be like an Italian family at dinner. Whoever talks the loudest and the longest gets their point across.
See, all I've now got playing in my head is just, you know, the old Star Trek.
Yeah, exactly. I'll grab the styrofoam rock and beat you with it.
Yeah, I need a net and a spear. Let's go. Maybe what we should do is just, like, not do any news, and then when Anthony comes back, we just, like, say, yeah, we've just filled in the time, wasting, you know, precious.
We could just talk about Anthony.
Yeah, we could.
You know, I mean, yeah. It is our big chance.
You wouldn't even know. My Sunday afternoons by canceling the podcast.
Oh, I know. What's he doing, man? Oh, I've got real-life commitments. No, you haven't.
Yeah, like playing Mega Man for 12 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want everybody on T-Formers to realize why you're not going to get the podcast anymore, or at least not the podcast in the same vein as before. It's basically because of Mega Man.
Yeah, 8-bits.
Yeah.
Selling you out for 8-bits.
Well, actually, let's go on.
I haven't read anything yet.
Yeah, go on then, Ender.
Okay. Transformers Power Core Combiners. First look at packaging mock-up. Thanks to Anonymous on 4chan, who has posted an interesting image that may give some validity to the rumors of the Power Core Transformers action figures coming to life. The name originally surfaced as a trademark filing from Hasbro. Since then, a number of posts and mentions have been made around the net trying to give this concept wings or debunk it. The image could be fan fabrication, as it's little more than a mock-up. Check the image of the mock-up package that shows Huffer and a Minicon Target Master looking sidekick named Caliburst. Odd name. If you use your imagination, you can kind of see Caliburst, maybe the cannon mounted on the back of the alternate vehicle mode shot in the lower left. The colors are similar. In the right arm, it looks to be a double barrel like the mounted vehicle weapon. You can, of course, go and check this picture out over at tformers.com. looks kind of Cybertron-y.
It does, doesn't it? And why is Calipers, the Decepticon target master, hanging around with Huffer? Sorry, I'm just being totally anal about that, but like, why can't we have Slugslinger and Calipers?
You know? I think they pull the names out of a bowl of fortune cookies now.
I think so. But it's like, we're getting new target masters, which is always good.
Yeah, I can get behind that. This line doesn't look bad if this is, you know, what we're getting next. I don't know. It's got at least a classic name going there with Huffer.
What's the whole shtick with Power Core? I mean, that obviously is a name that is just rife with a gimmick. What's the gimmick?
I think it's just the old Masters gimmick over again. It looks like, I mean, here it looks like a Target Master. Or maybe even Power Core might be a combination of a Target Master and a Power Master.
It could be anything, really, couldn't it? I mean, yeah. I mean, it's quite clearly combiner. So I suspect every toy you're going to have, you're going to get at least two figures out of it. And perhaps it might go somewhere similar to what they're doing with the Jungle Attack Ironhide, which is that his weapons are interchangeable with everything. So maybe you're going to get an entire line where all of these Minicon Target Master slash whatever is all interchangeable with one another. But that's just an idea. I've got no idea what the line could actually be.
That's probably just sort of like Minicon rehash.
Yeah.
Well, they're big on – they seem real big at BotCon. A lot of the future toys look to have a lot of synergy. They wanted to, you know, things to interact with each other. This part fits on this toy, fits on these things. So I wouldn't be surprised to see like something like you were saying where they're interchangeable in some way. Like and even the old headmasters used to have that thing where, you know, you could put the head on anybody and it would change the stats in their chest.
Yeah.
I mean, this line has been always been all about gimmick. Now, this could also just be a subline of some future line. The Power Core thing there is not listed up with the logo. It's down in the corner. So this could just be part of an upcoming line. Might not be everything.
Potentially. Anthony, what do you think of the Power Core combiners?
Okay, well, wasn't there some sort of controversy behind this? I remember Brian Kilby was talking about this, but I didn't quite get the story. Like, it was a fake news story, but the toy is real or something?
Potentially. I mean, like Endo was just saying before, all this is just a box mock-up. There's nothing... There is no toy to speak of that we have actually seen.
Yeah, and there was some sort of, I was trying to listen to the various other shows. I didn't quite get what the actual background of the controversy was, but basically that the box is real, but the story behind it is false or something like that. Mm. I'm not sure, but from what it looks like, I'm sort of like, they're really going to introduce something new to the movie line in the middle of the movie line. I'm sort of like, there's just too much. I mean,
I don't think it's movie line.
Oh, no, I don't think it is either. I think if we're getting this, like May, June of next year.
Oh, so you think this is a separate line than the Revenge of the Fallen?
Yeah.
Okay.
I honestly do not think there is any connection with the movie line here.
Maybe this could be the next version of Classic. Hoping.
Yeah, I was just saying, doesn't this kind of look like universe-ish packaging almost?
Yeah.
That would be nice. I would like to see that.
Yeah, and I mean, definitely if you look at Huffer, he definitely doesn't seem to have the multi-part, you know, look. In fact, he almost looks very, very simplistic. By the looks of him, it would look like, you know, those wheels stay in his chest and his cab will probably flip up from the back and from the front.
You mean he looks like a Transformer?
Yeah. You know, he just looks very, very simple. So right. I don't think this is movie line at all.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going with the line that this was like one of those add-ons, like they did the blue all-spark stuff to the first movie line that was really, you know, dumb. And I was thinking that this was going to be the next part of the movie line based on the box. But now the more I look at it, you could be right. This could be a separate line. So,
yeah, I don't think he has enough kibble to be a movie former.
Yeah, no, that's true. Okay, well,
Moving on?
Yeah, go on. You can obviously take control again.
All right. So the audio problems seem to be corrected for now, knock on wood. So who's reading the next story, which is more insights into War for Cybertron in-game Informer 2001?
Well, High Moon Studios, who is developing it, no strangers to the Transformers, according to Games Informer's 2001 news article featuring Transformers War for Cybertron. This is the game I've been waiting for 25 years to play, says Matt Teager, games director at High Moon or whatever. There was a video as well on Games Informer as well, where he was answering fans' questions. I just thought I'd like to point that out because he just makes some glaring errors.
Oh, really? What did he say?
Well, he called the Protector boss the Protecticons for a start.
Oh.
And then proceeded to tell everybody that while he had on his shelf an actual Cybertron Primus figure in robot mode, and then proceeded to tell everybody that while that is Primus, he's never appeared in robot mode ever.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, I guess we're sort of lucky that Hasbro made Michael Bay actually go to Transformers school.
Oh, well, hang on. In this guy's defense, the guy has an office full of Transformers, and he clearly didn't watch Cybertron, or Energon or whatever. But I don't know. I thought that's a much more knowledgeable guy than we usually get in charge.
Oh, yeah, look, I mean, let's be fair. Like, you don't have to be a fan. You don't have to know everything to be a fan. I'm just saying that, like, you know, I'm very anal about, like, getting Transformers wrong, and it's just like, ah. However, I've been saying this for a while now, just in regards to this whole thing. I don't need people to prove to me that they should be working on it, because they did this with the movie game as well, where they carted somebody out and went, oh, the development team are huge Transformers fans, and yeah, we did this and we did that. It's like, look, I don't care if you're a Transformers fan, just prove to me you're a good games designer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, somebody will always be there to pick up the fiction, so I don't care about that side to it, just make me a decent game.
Speaking of being an Uber fan, do you guys run into situations where you're trying to talk to somebody who's not exactly an Uber fan, and they say something wrong, and you debate in the back of your mind, do I spend the moment now to interrupt them and correct them, or do I just let that go? Has that happened to you?
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah, that's in everyday life as well. In addition to Transformers, there's grammar and just general facts and knowledge. So I typically let them finish their thought, begin my – you know, you don't want to interrupt them and be rude. I save the potential rudeness for after they've completed their thoughts. And it's like, well, I'd like to jump back for a moment and correct you on this. So just going forward, that's the correct way. And now let me respond.
Living with you for 3 years and more has shown me that you're so good at waiting until the person finishes thought. By the way, you ass.
So if you're ever having a conversation with Z Piper and he pulls out a notepad and starts jotting things down, you know you've made a mistake. I'd like to correct you on several points.
Exactly. Allow me to retort.
All right. Well,
I just go home and cry on the general front. On the Transformers note of that, though, I mean, like, when somebody does that and you want to correct them, it's not like you can, you know, we have like little cards that are like bona fide Transformer expert, but it's where you can, you know, and if we did, we wouldn't want to pull them out. But otherwise, you're like, exactly.
No, I actually, like,
actually, that's Omega Supreme. And then they're just looking at you like, yeah, what do you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually,
party foul. I'm sorry.
I don't care. We might as well leave it in.
Wow.
I'm gonna have to do some major editing in this show anyhow. So
you hear that, listeners? He doesn't care.
Seriously, if you haven't seen the first movie and you haven't heard the F bomb, then you know it's we got two shows left.
Where was this attitude like the last year and a half?
It's called me being a pussy.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
All right.
I like it before Anthony hands off the reins to like to the Radio Free Cybertron guys. He's going to drive this show into the ground.
I got a PlayStation 3. I got balls now.
He's like, I'm having audio problems. He's like flipping his laptop around and smacking things. Whatever.
All right. So
the video game.
Video game looks good. I mean, everything so far looks really good for the video games. What do you guys think?
I will reserve judgment until I actually see the game in progress, but I can't deny it. I've been burned too many times, and I just haven't learned my lesson. I'll be buying this game, like, regardless of what it gets.
Ender?
Yeah, I think I haven't seen anything negative about this game yet. I mean, yeah, we haven't seen gameplay yet, so obviously, like, everything could go, you know, topsy-turvy in 2 seconds on this, but...
Do we think this
honestly,
is
like everything's
be the,
been good. I think that.
I was gonna say, do we think this is gonna be the next line and possibly a cartoon tie-in?
I don't think it's gonna go that far, but I do think we're gonna see a toy line. It'd be kind of cool. We might see a comic book out of this. Mm. I think they.
Oh, sorry. Go on, Matt.
But overall, the game so far, everything has been good, and I think this is going to be the G1 game we've kind of been hoping for in a lot of ways, and it really goes to a place that I think the franchise has needed to go for a long time in terms of where's the freaking war,
right?
And like we talk about this in the comics, like the war is over, we're like, what war, where's the war? We've seen like 200 skirmishes. There's never a war.
Where's the backstory?
Yeah, they always reference it. I always hate when things bring up, like, the reason this story is so important is because something really cool happened in the past. But we're not going to show you that. We're
going to
show you this little bit that it affects it.
But wait a minute, though.
And this is, like, actually back.
Wasn't that sort of why Star Wars was so great, and then when Lucas decided to go back and show it, he had completely ruined the whole thing? Because it's like, oh, we're going to show you the Clone Wars. And then we saw the Clone Wars, and they sucked.
No, he ruined it because he listened to his kids. At this point, he had kids, and he thought that they would love Jar Jar.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I think Lucas's biggest problem with the original Star Wars is that he tried to connect everything. Every dot needed connected to every other dot. Why was C-3PO built by Darth Vader?
it's like, I am your father, and I built you, and I sold you a burrito in 1973.
You see, I just think it would be a really, really good one if we just got this 5-minute ending to the end, like 5 minutes after the Return of the Jedi, Luke standing there, all of the everybody's smiling at him and stuff, and then C-3PO stabs him in the back. He's been waiting for three movies to, like, you know,
and get his opportunity.
Then he pops his helmet off, and it is actually just like Anakin, and the whole thing was just anyway, but yeah.
Long, long ago in the Mad Magazine version of Return of the Jedi, Han goes to Leia and says, you know, hey, you want to get married now? And she's like, I'm not sure. I think you're my uncle. You know?
Well, in regards to this game, though, I mean, what's interesting is I believe Amazon have scheduled it for a June 10th release date, which is basically Amazon pulling dates out of their ass, I'm guessing, because assuming that this is the first time we've seen it, I'm guessing this game is definitely coming out. It's got to be Christmas 2010 at the earliest. So if we say Christmas 2010, we know Hasbro launches the TV channel beforehand. We know, thanks to the Moonbase 2 podcast, that there's a new cartoon series in the works and that it's going to be there. We know David Wise, thanks to the Moonbase 2 podcast, is working with Hasbro on something. So here's my theory. The game is the prequel to the new cartoon show, which we already know has got a toy line. And David Wise is going to be story developer, lead writer on it. And there you go. Because I somebody told me this, and I can't find it anywhere written down, so I could be wrong about this. But in fact, it might have been you, Ender, who mentioned it, that there's an Autobot Decepticon campaign. The Decepticon campaign comes first and is like the start of the war. And then the Autobot campaign comes second and is like their retaliation to it. So, you know, despite the fact that this game could just be a standalone it's a non movie year, so we'll just do a Transformers, because we know Activision is greedy. They're the largest video game company in the world. If they've got a license, they will milk it. James Bond was a prime example of that.
Yes.
So, well, you know, and when you see the veracity in which they pump out, like, Guitar Hero, you know, it could just be them being greedy, or there could be something more to it. And I think the fact that Aaron Archer and, you know, has been sort of directly involved with this, obviously, Ender, when you guys did the interview with him, he was there. So Hasbro's, like, really close with this one. We've seen the toy thing. I think there's a lot more to this game than is letting on. I think Hasbro is perhaps looking at releasing the new Transformers brand in a stream of different formats. But that's wishful thinking.
I think from the impression I've gotten from any conversations with Activision is that this game is actually going to be much more of a standalone kind of thing. And is anyone there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I'm sorry. My audio had a very sudden dip. Anyway, the impression I've gotten that this is a very standalone thing, that they've very deliberately picked this medium to tell this part of the story because they couldn't find another place for it. I get the feeling people at Hasbro have kind of had that "where's the freaking war" thing in mind for a little while now, and just haven't had a place to do it. And Activision said, "Hey, we want to make a yearly franchise. We don't have a movie this year." I think Hasbro came back with, "Well, what about this? What about the war?" And I think that's where this is coming from. I think they're looking to flesh out and sort of resurge the Generation 1 brand, because this is a very, you know, this backstory is very tied into, you know, very standard G1 looking things, and it's amazing when you look at the designs how many things they pull from to do that. Like, I can see some animated here and there. There's some Cybertron. There's some Transtech. There's all sorts of stuff in this. There's some War Within. I don't think this is going to be tied into any other into a show. I don't think that's what we're going to see.
The thing is, with that toy that we've seen one, what, in at least in my view, seems to be no more than like a Legends class size Optimus Prime toy, which could easily be a store exclusive. Like that could be the sum total of it. There may not be a toy line.
It might be a universe toy. Like, this is your one battle for or war for Cybertron toy.
Yeah, exactly. Or it could just be buy it at Walmart and you get this free toy. I mean, that literally could be the best you're getting out of this. But I'd like to believe that Hasbro is, like I say, diversifying with, obviously, they've got the Discovery Channel and their new TV show thing. So I'd hope that Hasbro is getting more involved in this and not taking a back seat. And then I'd hope that they take a much more firm stance on the third movie. But, you know,
well, what Hasbro said, I asked the Hasbro people about the toy that was seen, and all they would give me is, "We intend to maximize this property in a variety of different ways."
What did you ask people? Who do you know? Who are your connections?
Cal, should I tell my horror story?
I think you should. Yes.
Please okay. Do. What horror story?
I gleaned some information from it at the end, but I had an interview the other day with that it was purported to be to me. I was still like, "Hey, do you want to interview some developers for the new Transformers games?" I was like, "Oh yeah, sure." So, you know, I spend the night doing a little research. I get some, you know, developer questions together about gameplay and stuff, like, you know, play control, stuff like that, you know, because we really didn't have any information on it at the time. And it's going to be a phone conference call. And I was told it can be like, you know, a couple of developers and then there'd be a couple other reporters there. We'd all be on this conference call and, you know, just we'd all take turns asking questions. So I get there and it's just me. There are no developers. It's all designers and you know, people who, like, from the story. So all my questions are, like, completely irrelevant. And they're kind of introducing themselves, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And, you know, somebody comes in and is like, "Oh, there's Aaron's here now." I'm like, okay. So I started asking these questions, and they're just all the wrong things. I'm just wrong about everything. And they're like, "Actually, that's more a developer question." I'm like, "Oh, yeah. Well, what about this?" So I'm just, like, trying to make up questions on the fly. My audio is dying. over and over again. I'm talking to you on a new headset this week because they said they couldn't hear me. And halfway through the call, I realize I do the little math in my head. They're like, I'm talking to Pete Hasbro. They said Aaron. Okay, I'm interviewing Aaron Archer, and I have no questions for him about anything. I just looked like the biggest idiot in the world on this call. Just like,
well, who were you interviewing? I mean, if you weren't interviewing the developers, who were you interviewing?
No, it's like the designers. Like, it was somebody from Hasbro and somebody from Activision. So they were like people who'd made the designs, you know, so I wasn't asking about the designs. I'm asking about the mechanics of the game because I don't know who I'm talking to, because what I had been told is that I'd be talking to like more like people from High Moon. That's who I was expecting to talk to.
Well, who's your agent? And it just...
I believe that's tformers.com.
I think they didn't tell us. They told us the wrong. I don't know if they told us the wrong thing or they were too vague about it or what happened. But by the time the message got to me, I was supposed to be sitting there with other reporters talking to High Moon. But when I got there, it was just me looking like an idiot for like 10 minutes in front of Aaron Archer. So
let this be a lesson to you, kids. Red tape can be a bitch.
And always have questions ready for Aaron Archer.
Yeah, here or there, or just make stuff up on the fly that, you know, it's just so vague.
I was trying, but I was just, like, lost from minute one. Like, everything, to quote the Birdcage, I never knew so much could go so wrong so quickly.
Well, okay, well, with that being said, I think Jason actually has to skedaddle.
Sadly, yes. It seems like it's briefer and briefer every week due to my scheduling constraints.
Before you go, any thoughts on the wonderful comments from the fans in the forums about our show?
Oh, I'd really rather save that kind of stuff for the final show, man.
Well, this final speech better be one hell of a speech from you, Mr. Vocabulary of the Gods. You know, I expect this be something that's beyond your funeral rites. I wanted this to be the best darn thing I've ever heard from you.
Oh, I should tell you just to, you know, start hiring a corps of Scottish pipers for this one.
See, why am I just expecting it to just be, thanks.
Yeah, it's like, thank you, good night. Yeah.
All right, Jace. Well,
I have to get back with you on when we'll be doing it because, you know, with Christmas and all of that whatnot and rubbish and things, and we need to work that out.
Well, let me know as soon as possible if you can, please.
Absolutely. Please. I'll see you guys later.
All right. Take care.
See you, man.
You're going to have to kick me from the call because, remember, I can't end it for whatever reason.
Actually, Kella's going to have to do that.
Yes.
Well, dude, have a good holiday.
Kill me now. I'm here.
Do it. And he's dead. There we go.
All right. So now we can talk bad about him. No, I'm just kidding. I love my former roommate, even if he works way. See, now, see, that's, you know, he works too much. I work too much. Now you know why we can't do the podcast. So that's okay. You got some great people like Brian Kilby and, of course, Mr. Kello Prime here to pick up the slack. So.
What?
Well, I'm directing all of our listeners to your two shows, so.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I was thinking to myself, hold on a second. I mean, there's something going on I don't know about.
There's other shows, but, I mean, they never give us shout-outs or talk to us. Well, I take that back. Actually, we got interviewed by, I think, Icon One wants us to have us on at one point. So, I mean, there's other shows, but, I pretty much say, yeah, go listen to Radio Free or Moonbase, too. So, they talk to us.
Aw.
So, all right, moving on to the story. So, the other big news, it appears that Animated isn't quite dead yet. It appears that Animated is actually going to Japan. And Animated will actually be shown in Japan, and they are not only launching the Animated line down there and the cartoon, but also the website and the toy line. So, gentlemen, your thoughts on that?
Please make new toys. Please make new toys. Please, please, please make new toys. I'll buy them. I'll import them. I'll import 12. Please make more Animated toys.
I concur with Ender's previous statement. If this breaks in Japan, as well as I would hope it would, we may get something new, and that would be awesome. Because you've got to bear in mind, it's like, you know, when Hasbro created the Universe line, they exported it to Japan as Henke. And then what did we get? We got, like, the Jets, you know, the ones that were previously BotCon exclusives. So, yeah, I just hope it's a success because I want more animated.
I'm surprised. Yeah. I didn't know they didn't get it yet. I'm surprised that this is the first time they're actually seen animated. I thought that all the Transformers stuff was done, you know, concurrently.
Yeah, I was surprised that it wasn't happening that way either. I've been waiting, wondering, where, you know, any day now, are we going to see the Japanese version of that? Because I couldn't believe that we're just going to skip a whole line.
Yeah, well, I'm just curious to see how Optimus Prime sounds in the, or actually, no, I'm curious to see how Bulkhead sounds in Japanese. So,
see, I think, and I could be completely wrong about this, and just pulling this out of somewhere dark and gruesome, but I want to believe that the reason this hasn't made it to Japan yet is because the Transformers line isn't particularly strong at the moment in Japan, and you know, bringing out an entire new line backed by a cartoon series, probably not the best thing in the world. So maybe, you know, Takara was just hanging on, and plus, not only that as well, but if they were late with animated, which evidently they were, because guess what, people, like, animated's 2 years old come Boxing Day. Think about that.
Wow.
You know, if they didn't get that out for the first year, they just ran straight into Revenge of the Fallen.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you
know. Well, this will probably stifle and put in some sort of, you know, gap in between whatever the next cartoon's going to be for them. So this is basically sort of just holding them over. They have an entire 3 seasons that they could pretty much play all at once if they wanted to. And a whole bunch of toys there are all ready to go. So, I mean,
well, what I'm more interested in is the legality side of the whole thing, because animated, as far as I know, isn't playing over in the UK, and I don't know if it's playing still on TV in the US. So my assumption is that the whatever agreement Cartoon Network and Hasbro had has pretty much fallen by the wayside. So I'm wondering how they're managing to export it to Japan, if Cartoon Network and, you know, maybe it's something with Cartoon Network and Takara, or maybe Hasbro is acting as an intermediary, or maybe this deal was done so long ago that nobody can stop it. I'm just interested. I want to know who owns, like, I want to know who owns the cartoon to Transformers Animated. Is it Cartoon Network or is it Hasbro?
They might have just sold it now.
Yeah, possibly.
And I want to know where the hell my season 3 DVDs are.
Well, exactly. That ultimately leads, like, from point A to point B, doesn't it? Yeah, it's like, where is season 3 and are we going to get that?
Well, was it a rumor that we were going to get that at some point?
It's on Amazon as a pre-order. In fact, no, I don't even think it's gone up as pre-order yet. I think there's just a page there for it, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's ever going to see.
Yeah, much like the Transformers game.
Yeah. One. Yeah, so but no, it's cool. You know, Transformers fans in Japan will get to see animated, which arguably, you know, they exported trash to us for several years. We export them awesomeness.
They don't know what they're going to do with themselves. They'll be like, it's not fast enough. It's not quick enough. They're not saying their weapons after every time they shoot. What? I'm confused. Let's go kill some dolphins and whales.
Yeah, and maybe that is it. Maybe the reason why Japan hasn't gotten animated is because you look at Energon, Cybertron, or even RID, compare that to Transformers Animated, it's a completely different style of show. Most stories are single episode, hardly connected. There's a small one. It's short shows. I mean, you know,
it's
Armada
well,
Energon
it's,
was like, yeah.
It's
you know,
animated well.
So maybe just Japan just said, hey, no, look. Because, I mean, you look at Yu-Gi-Oh!, Pokemon, Transformers, Gundam, anything. There are all these, like, 50, 60-episode epic series. Animated's, like, 12 episodes in and out a season.
Yeah.
And that's it. So maybe it just doesn't appeal to the Japanese, you know,
I think the Japanese go more for quantity more than quality.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't it be awesome, though, to get some new they'd have to be translated back, but maybe they'll do some more shows. I doubt it, but that would be cool.
You look at Beast Wars.
Beast
Wars Neo and Beast Wars Second basically came out of the fact that Beast Wars got sent over there, and then they created their own line.
Now, what part of Beast Wars Neo, where did that fit in with, really quick, where did those two fit in with the storyline with Beast Wars and Beast Machines?
Beast Machines never happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Beast Wars, to be honest, I don't know a great deal about Beast Wars and Beast Wars Second and Beast Wars Neo. So anything I'm saying here, I think, is just general, because those are the only two Transformers series I've never actually seen. But from what I understand, they roughly tie into the end of it. But again, it's just like it's so separate. One step apart.
I think you actually. I seem to recall having seen shots of Optimus Primal being in Beast Wars Second on occasion.
Yeah, there's a tie in somewhere.
So there is. I mean, like it's after like season one. Somewhere in season one, it ties into Beast Wars Second, and then I don't know where Beast Wars Neo, if they touch on. On the actual normal Beast Wars line at all, or if it was just same universe kind of thing.
I believe this is what was going on back on Cybertron when things were going on at Earth or something like that.
There was some of that, but...
Scaleface, this is your assignment for this week.
Yeah, Scaleface, explain this to us. I have a vague sense of it, but I couldn't say anything definitive.
And we're supposed to be the experts, but what was funny is once somebody actually said that when they listen to our show, it's like, it's not like we're listening to experts. It's like we're listening to casual fans give their general opinion about what's going on. Like, well, all right, I guess if you want to take it that way.
look at it this way, right? The only thing that I ever think about when they exported Beast Wars over to Japan is the fact that they turned Air Razor into a guy. So just take the Silver Bolt and Air Razor relationship as you will.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, yeah, there
Tigatron.
You go. Tigatron, sorry, where did I say
it? Silver Bolt.
Oh, did I? Sorry, yeah. No, Tigatron and Air Razor.
I've always wondered about him anyway.
All right, hey, just remember, I'm sure Autobots have some kinky maneuvers, too.
Oh.
Or Primals. Especially, all right, well, we could go to a dark area there I won't go into. But so moving on to the next story, Red Rampage and Evac to be short-packed figures. And Ender, why don't you read that? I don't think I've heard you read something yet.
Okay, Red Rampage and Evac to be short-packed figures. Thanks to Hasbro, who have sent over some new official images of the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen deluxe class action figures, Red Rampage and Evac. Both these figures are coming out in 2010 as part of the Nest, I love Nest, series, but will be offered as short pack figures only at this time. Big Bad Toy Store, our wonderful sponsor, has both of these guys up for pre-order. Place your orders for Red Rampage and Evac today.
Why would Rampage be a Nest vehicle? Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
No, that's just the line. He's not
Whoopie
actually...
crap.
Yeah.
I hate these.
Hey, like, congratulations, we finally got the right color Rampage.
Why, was he supposed to be red?
Well, he was red in the movie.
He looked yellow to me, but that could just be my color blindness.
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now that I have a PlayStation 3, I can buy the Blu-ray version of Revenge of the Fallen and watch it in Blu-ray format.
You can see the crisp, clear suck.
Thank you, Ender. See, that's what I love about you, Ender, is I just set you up and you nail it out of the park. So good job.
So is anybody in the slightest bit interested by these two figures?
No.
No.
No. All right, moving on. I know, Ender.
I'm glad they made them so I can complain about them.
All right, so Game Informer exposes War for Cybertron Megatron. Ooh! It's the guys at Game Informer posed more character profiles to come as they've delivered just post-art details for none other Optimus Prime's rival Megatron. and they supply the design images of the Decepticon leader in robot and alternate tank mode for us to see. There are some details of the bad guy's character traits, weaponry. Yeah, that's the word. And more than meets the Megatron in this game, that is the War for Cybertron. Wow, see, this is what movie Megatron should have been. Am I not right?
Hate the fusion cannon.
Fusion cannons are right. But this is
one of those. Go ahead.
This is what movie Megatron should have been.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Like, over movie Megatron, yeah, I totally agree. This is a pretty awesome, it's got some nice references to animated, it's got, you know, the classics head is there.
Yeah.
Just really, really nice. I just don't like the look of the fusion cannon.
Really?
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me that much.
Well, this isn't perfect in that way. I mean, like, it's not my favorite Megatron design ever, but I think I was just talking to Jack about this the other day, that movie Megatron is the first, both versions of him, is the first Megatron in 25 years I haven't bought any version of. I hate it. It doesn't fulfill the prerequisites for Megatron. I think it's like the debate over what Megatron should turn into has been raging since day one because of the, you know, mass shifting thing. Should he be a gun? Should he be a tank? Should he be a cannon? He's been a car. He's been a space car. And I think with like the grand thing that the movie came up with was just like, hey, what if he didn't really turn into anything? And what if he just looked like a tinfoil wrapped baked potato? I mean, it was just pointless. And what animated proved was it doesn't matter what he turns into. As long as he's got a big black cannon on his arm, he's painted silver, and has the helmet.
Yeah, you're right.
All the movie managed to get right was the silver.
Yeah, like you look at Transformers. Like, if somebody turned around to me and went, oh, yeah, in the new Transformers series, like, Megatron's going to transform into a helicopter, I would have slapped you and said, don't be stupid. Like, why would he transform into a helicopter? Like, it's a helicopter. No, but they made it work, and they made him look awesome. And I still maintain he is probably the best toy in the animated line, that leader class figure.
Very well could be.
Yeah, he is the bot, basically. But the problem, and I give the movie, like, I give the movie credit on the basis of the fact that they didn't say everything has to go back to the way it was. Everything doesn't have to look like Generation 1. And especially with Megatron, they went, look, we can, but the problem is both designs, yeah, you're right, just didn't, you didn't look at him and go, oh, it's Megatron.
Yeah.
Well,
this image fits all the major points you have to be Megatron.
Book his head, fusion cannon.
Right. And even, like, I thought it was really funny, the pre-Earth version of Megatron, an animated, had a very movie-esque helmet, but still actually looked like Megatron and was identifiable as him. And I always feel like the animators were sitting there going, looking at the move back at the movie design going, is this kind of what you meant to do?
Yeah. I agree. Well, I agree with you in terms of that, at least for me, the first movie's Megatron alternate mode worked because I always thought Megatron should be with the Seekers. He should be a jet. And by the time we got to the second movie, it's like, wait a minute, he's a tank, but he's a flying tank? Wait a minute, I'm thoroughly confused here. He's just a pile of kibble. Well,
he's a pile of kibble that wings, and then he's a pile of kibble with a barrel. I mean,
they never really explain that, and like certain things with the movie, once again, not to go into a whole rampage with the second movie again, I think if they just spent an extra 5 seconds on certain things, they could have just made the movie so much better. Like, yeah, I actually had to pause the Blu-ray DVD to figure out how Sam gets out of Prime when Megatron comes from behind him as a tank and runs into him. It's like, I never understood where Sam went. And if you slow down, it's like, oh, okay, when Prime transforms, he's holding Sam and then gently places him on the ground so he can dual battle with Megatron. So once again, it's like, if the movie just spent a little more time on some extra details, but not to rehash that old argument, I mean, the game figure looks absolutely great. And
What do we think of his alt mode? I'm sorry, I interrupted you there.
I love it.
It's very animated.
Yeah, well, you know, does it remind anyone else of Optimal Optimus's tank mode?
A little.
With the arms out front?
Oh, sorry, we're talking about the movie here.
No, I'm talking about the game.
Oh, right, okay.
A little, but I think this harkens back. This to me would be if they did animated Megatron's the Tank in the future. So this looks more like an animated Megatron. The hands up front do bother me a little bit, but once again,
yeah, I just meant in terms of the transformation structure. I thought this looked influenced by the optimal Optimus Tank mode.
It could be a little bit, but once again, I don't think we're going to be seeing it from the front in the video game. Usually, we're seeing these characters from the behind, aren't we? Unless we're attacking.
Well, I was just speaking to the design, not the cinematography.
Right. So it doesn't. I think it's a sleek update, which I think once again, this should have been this. This you could make the movie Megatron. It could come off much better, but
it's much more aesthetically pleasing. Yes.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the next story. New looks at Revenge of the Fallen, not Wheelie. Kello, if you would please.
Thanks to Jen Zhao, who posted some new looks at the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen Scout Class action figure Slapdash. This is an orange repaint of the Dead End action figure that everyone swore was going to be a Generation 1 Wheelie homage. Just when we thought Hasbro was getting it together, they go the other way. Ah, well, check out the little guy.
I love this. I don't know what it is about the color orange, but I love the color orange on Transformers. And call me weird, but I find this adorable.
Well, it is the happiest color, Anthony.
Or the spookiest, depending on your time.
And Frank Sinatra's favorite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, there's your
answer. I don't know why I know that, but that's what I know about
it. See, I don't understand where everybody like went, oh, like Hasbro, why didn't you call it Wheelie? It's like, well, because there already is a Wheelie. It's kind of...
Yeah, I know. It's like...
I don't understand.
Like, thing humping her leg? Yeah, that was Wheelie.
Yeah, you know, it's fine. It's like, if you want to say that this is Hasbro's homage to Generation 1 Wheelie, then that's a fair point. And, you know, I could see Hasbro saying, hey, let's do it. Okay, but we can't call him Wheelie, so what do we call him? Slapdash. You know, fine.
Well, the name Fortune Cookie Bucket comes out again.
Yeah. he's a bit of a bland repaint as far as I'm concerned, but I do like his vehicle mode. I think he looks really, really good and... You know, a fairly adequate Wheelie, if that's what you want to call them. Because we seem like seemingly now we're in an era of Transformers where it doesn't matter what Hasbro releases them as, like, right. Fans will argue like incessantly online. I mean, how many times did you hear it, especially with Snarl in Animated? Oh, I'm not calling him Snarl, I'm calling him Slag. Well, actually his name's Snarl. Like, irrespective of what you think, he's called Snarl.
Right.
You know.
I just call him the one Dinobot that doesn't talk. And it was with the,
I call him Slag.
Yeah, but
I'm one of those people.
Yeah, you see, you're part of the problem, Ender.
What else is new?
You know, you want to call it Wheelie? Be my guest. Like, just you know.
Well, I'm gonna make a custom. Put a sticker on and paint it. I'm gonna call him Earl. Or yeah. I'm gonna call him Bob.
I'm gonna call him Peg Warmer.
Did you guys ever hear the animated voice cast from I think the 2007 BotCon where the anime crew goes to the multiverse and they meet up with Beast Wars Megatron? And David Kaye is doing the voice of Megatron. They're like, "What's your name?" And I'm Bob.
Yeah.
It was very well done. So but alright, so have we said all we want to say for that or
yeah.
Alright, moving on.
Definitely
then to
orange.
More Transformers Devastator gear from Crazy Debbie. Crazy Debbie, it's crazy. Ender, tell us about Crazy Debbie.
Man, these Crazy Debbie guys are really living up to their name.
They have gone
totally insane over the Devastator Combiner Team toys with two, count them, two new fan-made accessory upgrade sets announced. The CDMW03 means Robots and Power Parts set and CD. Construction-grade power parts set. They have also posted an update that the... I'm not reading it again. Construction grade power parts will be restocked in January 2010. Seriously, what the heck are these things? Are they just nifty extra Devastator parts?
One of the Devastator's legs to actually bend, which is pretty darn cool. And the other one is the pre-mentioned glowing head, which is nice.
Oh, right. Okay. I remember this stuff.
I believe the other one is an adjustable truss crane connector with ball joint articulated three-hand made of Polylac Virgin ABS, toy color accurate and Legends compatible. So it's a better version of the hand for the crane, so it's more movie accurate. So, I'll say one thing, taking classic Devastator and making them actually a little more sturdy, let alone being able to pose him, totally gets thumbs up.
Oh, no, this isn't classics Devastator. This is Generation 1 Devastator.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Like, the leg bits this is like for Generation 1, which is awesome. Like,
yeah.
Like,
oh, this is beautiful.
Yeah, like really, really cool. As far as the Revenge of the Fallen Devastator goes, couldn't care less. And I don't necessarily think the head is brilliant. I don't think the head sculpt on the Generation 1 Devastator is particularly brilliant, but the leg connectors, genius. Really, really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is an awesome idea. It makes your G1 Devastator, like, totally rule, and you could make your movie Devastator suck that much less.
Well put, Ender. All right.
Every chance you get, isn't it? It's just like the knife goes in, and it's...
Ender is just a whole series of, soliloquies of... He's like Hamlet, you know, all about Transformers. I will kill you! But first, I'm
as the shank that is Revenge of the Fallen moves deeper into my back and closer to the cockles of my heart, I get more and more bitter about the movie.
Et tu, Brute? Oh, wait, no, that's a different movie. Anyhow.
Et tu, Michael Bay?
Yeah, et tu, Michael Bay, so... All right, last story is Activision launches Operation Transmission Recovery. Recovery. Okay, there's no let up here, folks. The new Transformers War and Cybertron series is coming at us with full force, and some may have called this hype as looking like a real meat from our perspective. For starters, they've launched a very slick-looking website. It's full browser graphics with a 3D model of Cybertron. Ooh. I haven't checked this out
yet. It is pretty spiffing. It's spiffing.
You're in orbit with a bunch of other junk flying around the planet and just taking some kind of hit. Cybertron's in trouble with a big hole blown in it. There's some messages that need to be deciphered. Break the code to check out what it reveals. And you get two color-coded dials. Use them to find the combination and unlock the lost transmissions. Are you hardcore enough to crack on your own? If not, well, the codes are there for you people that like to cheat, which would be me. So go check it out.
Incidentally, I'm the one who sat around last night getting those codes.
So. Oh, really? So yeah. You have you to thank?
I was sad enough to be doing that at like 2 in the morning.
Does anybody hate it when they kind of do these things on websites? Why don't they just tell us what we want to know?
Because
generally, I mean, okay, this is probably, you know, this is much more obviously aimed at kids than us. But it like, as far as I'm concerned, it's like I can't be bothered to faff around with codes or anything like that. And plus, the content that I unlock, I'm sure is going to be massively underwhelming anyway.
That's sort of my thing. It's like, you know, I don't have that much time in my life as it is. I really don't have time. That's sort of the problem I'm dealing with playing Mega Man 9 now. It's just give me the cheat codes. I don't have time to go back and do everything that requires massive amounts of hours to get an energy canister. Just let me accomplish something quickly in my life for once, please. So
I just don't know why you're playing a difficulty-oriented video game as a free time thing when you don't have any free time.
Well, this is my, you know, birthday present. I usually around Christmas play a video game for about 3 weeks, and then I don't touch it till next Christmas. So,
a multi-hundred-dollar huge megabit giant HD systems, so you can play an 8-bit game.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I just wanted to, you know,
dude,
not the not
it's Mega
the,
Man. I mean, come on.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
They
I just
recreated it in
back.
Like 8-bit. It's like amazing. So, by the way, if anybody would like to download my 8-bit Apple IIe game, you go to my website, anthonysomo.com, and download Walking Stick, only available for Apple or Macintosh, and tell me what you think. That's my plug there. So, sorry, moving on to comics news.
I'll tell you what I think.
Moving on to comics news. Okay, so I'm going to step back here and let you two comics junkies tell me. So first of all, what's with this Bumblebee comic? Is this like tied into the ongoing series or what?
Heavily.
Really? So yeah. Tell me about it.
Literally taking place, one could probably say a day or something like that after the end of issue 2 of the ongoing series. This seemingly... well, put it this way, it deals with Bumblebee coming into contact with a human military general, and the crazy scenario that ensues. I won't spoil it for anybody. They can obviously go and read it.
But it's a different style, right?
No, totally different style. Totally different artwork, totally different writer.
Same storyline, but different style and different writer.
Yeah, well, I mean, the story itself is going to be a self-contained, specific, Bumblebee-centric storyline, but what's interesting about it is the direction that it takes sort of removes a good chunk of the characters from the ongoing series right out of the bat. It kind of removes them off. So I think what's going to be, you know, if when issue 3 of the ongoing comes around, if Bumblebee and everybody's standing around going, hey, you know, then it won't work. But if Bumblebee and all of those characters that are involved in it vanish for the next couple of issues on the ongoing, then it'll be all good. So we're still waiting to see how much it ties in. But I enjoyed it as a one-off. Ender, I know you thought it was a bit lagging in some parts.
It wasn't a bad story. It was just really exposition heavy.
Yeah.
Opposite. Just goes on and on. There's one point where there's just this block of pages that's just like dialogue. And I'm all for dialogue, but like this was just like this mountain of like, well, we're doing this because we're doing that, and then we have to do this because we're doing that. Mm-hmm. If you don't do this, this will happen. And by the end of it, you're just like, is this comic ever going to end?
And then when it does end, it kind of ends itself on a pretty interesting cliffhanger. But at the same time, there's one moment in it where you're just like, ooh. And then there's another moment where you're just slapping your forehead going, oh. So I don't know. It seems quite good so far. The only really major issue I've got with this, aside from the artwork, is seemingly it looks like Skywarp has to press buttons to teleport, which... I just hated it. It's like, what's he doing? Why doesn't he just teleport? It's like, why does he have to press buttons? And what's he doing on Earth?
Didn't he leave? Wasn't he with them when they were leaving? That didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
But. Yeah. So, but it's issue 1, so, you know, and this is coming, this is a monthly series for, I think, 4 issues. Or six, I can't remember anyway. But it was entertaining, yeah. I think the artwork is going to be a big hurdling block for a lot of people with this one, because the artwork, if you've read All Hail Megatron 13.
I like this style, to be honest with you. This doesn't bother me compared to what's going on in the ongoing series. I prefer this, to be honest with you.
Mm. Well, I mean, the artwork has been a massive bone of contention between the ongoing, and I'm sure Ender has mentioned this constantly on the podcast, things like that. You know, the artwork has been a massive contention for a lot of people. And what's interesting about this is you look at the character designs in this series, they look similar, but they're not identical to, like, Ratchet looks very G1 in this as opposed to. So I think this is basically, if anybody turns around and says, oh, why have they all changed their looks and stuff like that? Look, it's an artist thing. If they look different in one issue compared to the next one, it's not because they've re-scanned, it's just because the artist is different.
Yeah.
And I like that way that IDW is going with it, which is why they can pull out a miniseries here or a miniseries there, and not everybody has to be to Don's level of detail.
Right.
So, I liked it. I liked it. I think go check it out, everybody.
All right, so tell us about Tales of the Fallen, number 5, then.
The preview? Mm-hmm.
I guess Ravage isn't dead.
Yeah, Ravage is... I've actually read the full comic, but...
You don't want to spoil it, right?
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it. I will say I didn't feel like... This comic is a lead-in comic. It was written by Simon Furman and what's he called? Nefarious, right, Cal? He's going to be writing. another series set in the movieverse, which I believe is Transformers Nefarious. This is a setup comic for that. And beyond that, there's really not much to it. Some stuff goes on. Ravage does some cool things, but they don't really tell you why or what or who is behind it. This is a lead-in comic, and that's what it is.
Well, I mean, I haven't read this yet, so I'll just ask you this. You said it's a lead-in comic. Does that mean it actually has merit to exist? I mean, like, you know, the Jetfire, the Fallen, the Sideswipe, all of that stuff I've thought has been complete filler to this point. There's no reason for any of that to exist. That what they tell us is not worth the amount of exposition in the 22 pages that went on beforehand. You could have easily filled in all of the... Does this one have legs?
This is at least going to be part of ongoing continuity in a way that will be meaningful in the comics versus what we've seen, which has been Revenge of the Fallen filler.
Yeah, because my worry is just that we know what happens to Ravage. You know, spoiler alert, he gets filleted by Bumblebee in the movie.
This is after the movie. I think I could be mistaken, but I think this is the only one of these sort of Revenge of the Fallen spotlights that they've done that has been set post Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah, it will be.
I'm mistaken, but I think all the others have been prequel kind of.
Sideswipe, Jetfire, Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were all,
but this is after Revenge of the Fallen. Hmm. So this is the first comic, I think, since the movie that moves the movieverse forward.
Yeah.
So it is interesting in that aspect. This is going to inform things that come that are going to be. It's almost too bad because, of course, when these get collected, this will be collected with the Tales of the Fallen. When it seems to me, really, it should probably be collected with Nefarious.
Hmm. Do we think that this may be some way start tying into the third movie, or they probably don't even have a clue what the third movie is going to be?
They have no idea what the third movie is going to be. They're hoping they're playing with a dead character here because they know he won't be in the third movie.
I mean, let's just be honest here, right? And this isn't an attack on IDW or the writers or anybody like that. This is just a problem where they're playing in somebody else's sandbox.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever they do, they have to do it respectfully, and they have to, as Ender has said on podcasts beforehand, you have to put the toys back where you found them in the box. Like, I know it's a story cliche, but let's just have the Allspark give off like a massive blast of energy and just transport them to like an alternate universe. I know that's what Simon Furman did in the UK comics, and... Mm. That way, they don't have to worry about any of this. Like, I know it's a cop-out. I know it's like, but it just makes things a hell of a lot easier and allows you to do more interesting storytelling. You know, if it's gotten to the stage where they have to play with dead characters because they know they're not coming back, you know, Barricade, then, you know, why should I be interested?
Do we ever get a fictional explanation of what happened with Barricade in the movie? Is he dead, alive?
He disappeared at the end of the first movie. He then reappeared in the Tales of the Fallen Bumblebee, got beaten up, and then left again.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's all we've gotten.
Yeah. Well,
he's just hanging around.
So nice to have you guys fill in the spots of, you know, like from even... If for me who tries to be a hardcore fan but can't keep up with everything, it's like, oh, all right, well, there we go. Anything else going on comic wise?
What have we got? No.
No, I think all we got is when does the next ongoing come out?
Oh, I would imagine that'll be mid January sometime, probably late January with the holidays.
I think we actually have like two Tales books coming out before anything else.
Possibly. The only other thing is as well that was that FunPub put out the timelines Wings of Honor comic this week. This past
week. Yeah, I've been meaning to read that. I haven't read that one.
That's actually a really good comic. I really, really did like it. If you were at BotCon 2009, you'll probably already have it if you bought the set, I'm guessing. But I liked it. I thought it was a very, very good, very fun comic. So you can probably pick that up. It's a little bit more expensive, I think, than... I think it's like £3.50 over in the UK. So it'll probably be about a $4 book or something like that. But, you know, limited print run, fun pub. It's a BotCon exclusive comic book. But it's enjoyable. I liked it. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Go check it out.
All right. So, last bit of news is that BotCon 2010 dates and location are coming soon. And we're supposed to actually hear just before Christmas what the date and the location is. Here's me hoping for Columbus, Ohio. But party at Anthony's house. So,
I'd take that. I could drive there.
Yeah, I know. It'd be great. I could have all you guys over and whatnot, and it'd be, you know, transform. Although my
of course, you could drive to Chicago.
Or either way, you know, whatever. Some place in the middle. Well, they did it over on the West Coast, so they usually flip-flop. So if they follow their usual flipping, it'll be over here this year. So so we'll see. But BotCon 2010, so stay tuned to tformers.com for that date, possibly in the next 4 days.
And then get really excited if Brian Savage has got online registration yet.
Yeah, they don't usually... Oh, go ahead, Edner. I'm sorry.
Don't be silly. Fire up those fax machines.
You know, I love it. I love it. BotCon, licensed by Hasbro, biggest Transformers convention in the world. Auto assembly, small UK convention, averages about 500 guests, has online registration.
Well, you know, they just need a talented website designer, hint, hint, to help them with this great BotCon exposition. So if they are looking for a very talented and creative website designer, hint, hint, I'm sure they could just look to the Transformers fandom and somebody would be happy to help them for free flight, passage, and entrance into BotCon, hint, hint. So,
well, shameless marketing ploys aside, man, I'd love to go to Auto Assembly. Everybody's always raving about Auto Assembly.
Yeah, especially like, these guys on the Moonbase 2 podcast.
Hey, strangely enough, somebody not a million miles away helps organize it, you know, so.
Hey, speaking of organizations, tell them what you're doing for your charity drive this year. I know we're planning on something too, but I haven't gotten the information yet, but tell them what you're doing, Dave.
Last year, I decided last year to try an experiment because we had all these, you know, between everybody who was on YouTube and things like that, there's thousands of people like subscribed to different people. And I thought, yeah, you know, wouldn't it be a really cool idea if we did sort of like a charity drive thing and split the money between a charity in the US because there was a lot of US reviewers and a charity in the UK because there's a lot of UK reviewers. And so split the money between these two charities and, you know, see how much we could raise. And last year we raised about $600.
Nice.
It was $600 because I rounded it up. So we raised that and I thought, hey, great success. We donated to Dr. Bernardo's, which is a long-standing UK children's charity, and a US charity called The Christmas Box, which, again, helps disadvantaged children in the US. And I thought, hey, let's give it a go again this year. And as of this recording, which is the 20th of December, I don't know exactly when this is going to go up, but today was the last day you could donate, so it's finishing. And I'm pleased to announce that this year we've made over $1,000.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, so this technically, I won't be announcing this until tomorrow, on the 21st.
So we have an exclusive here on the T-Former podcast.
Well, exactly. And I'm assuming this will be going up at some point. So yeah, we've broken over $1,000. I don't have the actual PayPal in front of me, but I think it's closer to $1,200. So, as I say, that's going to get divided up. Some of it go to the US, half of it to the US, half of it to the UK. So yeah, I just want to say a big, big thank you to everybody who helped and donated and contributed in some way. So yeah, that was very, very cool.
Nice job, Jello. Awesome. Nice job. Mm. So if they want to donate and get more information, where can they go?
Well, like I say, it's now closed now for this year, but you know, just do yourselves a favor and just go to their website, go to any website, you know, and just donate something, PayPal something over to them. Know, a couple of bucks or something like that. You know, you may say, oh, well, what's the point in giving, you know, $1 or $2? You know, it's not going to do anything. Yeah, it may not. But if everybody does it, you can make over $1,000 like we've done, and that does make a difference.
There you go.
So, you know, especially Christmas.
Wise words from the classy British man overseas. So.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that being said, that wraps up. Well, actually, before we go, let me just say that obviously we are doing our last show of the TFormers.com podcast next week. I want to say the amount of wonderful thank yous and heartfelt love and appreciation on the message boards. Guys, I actually may shed a tear on the last show from all of you guys. What Jason Sander, and then his heart grew twice as big that day or something.
Grew three sizes that day.
So, yeah, I was amazed. I mean, I just posted something and then a bunch of people replied to my post, and I was amazed that people actually cared that much. So I want to thank everybody who continues, well, has made this podcast so wonderful for the past, I think, what, year and a half, 2 years. Once again, I'll get a little more sentimental on the final show. And to be honest, next week, I don't think we're going to do much news. I think we're just going to talk about Transformers in general and just give our final thoughts. Needless to say, guys, thank you so much for proving that a dork like me that could sort of was ousted by sort of a particular group of people can actually do something in the Transformers world. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Oh boy. Okay.
Well, if I can just jump in as well, because I suspect this will be the last time that I'm on the T-Formers podcast with you, and obviously Z Piper and things like that. And I just want to say, like, a big, big congratulations for everything you've done, because
you guys
were like the first podcast that we sort of interacted with when we started on a regular basis. And, you know, we had you on the podcast, and I've been on here countless times, and just like, thanks for all of the entertainment that, you've given us.
That was the great thing, is that a lot of people wanted to try and remain in their own space. It's like, well, no, we have this great community, and if we all interact with each other, it just brings more flavor to the Transformer world. And if anything, I've learned more about what's going on in the UK from you guys than I've ever. I hardly had a concept of what was going on over there till I started listening to you guys and interacting with you guys. So, I mean, it's been superiorly, if that's a word, beneficial to, my knowledge and whatnot. So, thank you, Kello. You guys always do an outstanding show and whatnot. And I really admire that you guys try to do a kid-friendly show and whatnot. And it's just been nice to have somebody, from the other side of the world on to actually fill us in on all the things that we don't get to see.
Yeah. So there you go, everybody. T-Formers next week. Check it out. I'm pimping your podcast on your podcast. How absolutely ridiculous that is, of course.
I may make a guest appearance from time to time on your show too. So
you're always welcome, sir.
And I know, well, thank you. And I know Ender also will be on there whenever there's serious comic talk, because you guys are the comic gods. So,
this week, you can go check it out this week, because Ender's on there. We're talking about issue 2.
So go check it out, Moonbase 2, and the URLs too hard to find, so just type in Moonbase 2 podcast in Google, and it'll get you there.
You'll find it, yeah.
That being said, this concludes this week for the TFormers.com podcast. This has been Iron High 1975.
This is Kal-El Prime.
And this is Ender.
I'll see you next week, folks. Bye.
My name is Optimus Prime. We are autonomous robotic organisms from the planet Cybertron. But you can call us Autobots for short.
The T-Formers.com podcast is copyright 2009 T-Formers.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland band Gravity for use of their music. Go check them out. MySpace.com/Gravity33. Check out our forums and leave your feedback or send us an email at podcast@tformers.com. This has been an E&I production, all rights reserved.